Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 3 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel 8, 15 through 22. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're going to be continuing Daniel chapter 8, where we're looking at this vision of the ram and the goat and all the weirdness that comes along with it and horns and boastfulness and pride and arrogance and temple destruction and all of that kind of stuff, all of that good stuff. Before we jump into that, would you join me as we pray today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us, touch our hearts, fill us with the knowledge of you. We want to encounter you from your word today. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're watching or listening to this on the podcast, I encourage you, if you haven't checked it out before, go to 10weekbible.com and check out the books that are offered there and the archives of the podcast and broadcast. Gone through a lot of the books of the Bible, and they're not all available on podcast apps or on YouTube at this time. So 10weekbible.com, you can find lots of additional resources, books for in print or Kindle, and archives of the broadcast. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Daniel 8, verse 15. While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice calling from the Ulai, calling, "Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision." So full stop right there. Big whoa, big moment in human history. When the angel Gabriel shows up, you should pay attention. In scripture, when Gabriel shows up, you should listen very carefully, because something big and something very, very important is about to be revealed. Gabriel is one of the archangels who stands before the Lord. He is one of the top angels in heaven. And so this is a huge, huge deal for Daniel and for us. All right, continuing on. As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. "Son of man," he said to me, "understand what the vision concerns the time of the end." While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then he touched me and raised me to my feet. So that's weird all by itself there. So Gabriel comes over and he tells Daniel, hey, everything you've seen, it's concerning the time of the end. We're going to hear it's going to concerning the time of wrath. And this is another hint for us that this is not just regarding Antiochus the Fourth. This has something to do with the future, even though it fits very well with the events that are going to unfold when Greece, when Antiochus attacks and conquers Jerusalem and sets off the Maccabean revolt and the history that's going on there. Incidentally, that's where the Jewish people get Hanukkah from, was from the reconsecration of the temple after Antiochus the Fourth set up the altars to the foreign gods and all that kind of stuff. It's a very pivotal moment in Jewish history. But we're told here that it's not actually what we're talking about. We're not talking about that moment in history. We're talking about something to come. We're talking about the end times, specifically, just like in the previous vision. So the thing that I find funny about this is Daniel is terrified of Gabriel. And so he falls face down in front of Gabriel. Obviously, I guess Gabriel has stood right in the presence of God. And so when Gabriel comes near Daniel, he's absolutely terrified. And we're not talking about some kind of like holy reverence. We're talking about he's scared out of his mind. Like, there is something so awesome and powerful about this angel. It is literally terrifying. And he falls face down, prostrate on the ground. The funny thing is, in the midst of that, he falls asleep. So I don't know if, and honestly, when I read this, I'm not entirely sure if this is in the vision he's seeing this, or if this is actually happening. Like, the vision has now ended and now Gabriel is like literally coming over to him, or, you know, all of this, like, you know, I don't understand exactly how this is playing out, but in some form or fashion, Daniel falls asleep after falling prostrate before the angel. And Gabriel wakes him up and gets him up. So I don't know if there's a passage of time, like Gabriel's just standing over him as Daniel's terrified and his terror goes to exhaustion and he falls asleep, or if this is some kind of supernatural thing where he hits the ground in terror and then supernaturally falls asleep immediately and the angel has to wait. I don't understand what's going on. I think it's kind of strange. I think it's kind of funny. Maybe this whole bit here is a little bit of humor on the part of the Lord, or maybe on Daniel's part. I don't know, but I do find it kind of odd. Continuing in verse 19, he said, "I'm going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end." Again, this is future even for us today, because this, the time of the end and the time of wrath, it's a very specific biblical time, and that is the end times as described in Revelation. All of those events have not yet unfolded. Verse 20, the two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the large horn between its eyes is the first king. The four horns that replace the one that was broken off represents the four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation, but will not have the same power. So this right here is obviously and literally talking about Alexander the Great. You know, he is, and again, scripture will interpret itself for you many times. So Alexander the Great was this first king of Greece, and he goes and he conquers. But then when he dies, his kingdom is split up into these four pieces, but they don't have the same power that Alexander the Great had. Not even the four kingdoms combined, they still don't have the same authority, and there's not as much fear upon all the nations surrounding them as there was before. They just don't have what Alexander had. And so out of that is what we're talking about coming, this one guy who's going to come and attack. And that's where we get Antiochus the Fourth. He was one of the rulers of these four sub-kingdoms, the subdivided kingdoms. He wasn't the first ruler after it was divided. He comes some time later. He's in the succession, the line of succession. But he is in one of these four kingdoms that's split up after Alexander dies. So we have very great clarity from the angel Gabriel about what's going to take place in the future. But even still, we have this bit of mystery because he lays it out very clearly that Greece is coming, and out of Greece is coming this one man. But what this really has to do with is the time of the end. And so it's almost, and again, I don't like to be too concrete with things that are this mysterious. But to me, it almost seems like what we're being told is that what this vision really has to do with is the end times, the time of wrath, Book of Revelation, all of that stuff. But I'm giving you a window into what that's going to look like for the nation of Israel. There's one key indicator in all of Scripture that signals the beginning of the Great Tribulation, and that is the Antichrist setting up the abomination of desolation in the temple in Jerusalem. And Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, this ruler who came from Greece, who is one of the rulers of Alexander's split kingdom, he is going to come and do something very much like what the Antichrist will do in the future. And it's almost like we're being given a window into what's going to happen in the future. The abomination of desolation could quite possibly be the Antichrist doing something very similar, going in and getting rid of temple worship. I mean, in fact, this is very clear that this is what he's going to do, but it seems to me that Antiochus was a model of what the Antichrist is going to do someday by kicking out the priests and setting up his own worship to pagan gods. Antichrist will actually be to himself inside the temple. And so to me, it seems like we're being given an expression, an early expression of what the real Antichrist is going to do. I think that's a good ending point for today. We're going to pick it up in verse 23 on our next broadcast. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.